You got a little Ouija with Paddy Power on this one, then?
Yeah, mate. Big man to score any time. I'm backing him.
And it looks like it's the big man who's coming off.
Oh, he's going to struggle to score from the bench, pal.
Oh. Fear not, punter, because with Paddy Power's super sub, your bet carries over to the player coming on.
Y'all ready for this?
So now, all subs are super. Paddy Power. Football, you gotta love it. Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to the From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to day two of York's Dante Festival. And by we, I mean Rory DeLargy and me, Patrick Kennelly. Rory, how are you?
Since last I spoke to you, very little has changed, I have to say, which is not...
Okay, look, you're breaking the fourth wall. We do record back-to-back shows on Tuesday, so since last you spoke to me was a good 35 seconds ago, but we didn't really need to tell everyone that, but we did, and that's okay. So full transparency, recording after the prices literally were just made available for day three at York. And you did mention you hadn't been to York in about 13 years yesterday, or in the pod yesterday,
yep.
Albeit half an hour ago. When are you hoping to go to York again?
I don't know. I planned to go last year, but I ended up taking a family holiday at the same time. So if I go up, it'd be ideally for the Ebor meeting. So maybe this year, but then again, maybe I'll be back in Saudi Arabia in August. Who knows?
Well, are you the one who got in early and realised that the Derby and the Royal Ascot's going to be run in Riyadh next year? So that's why
you're... Well, that'd be interesting. Although it must be said, it'll be slightly too warm in Riyadh for the Derby or Royal Ascot.
Didn't they run a World Cup in Qatar? Oh, no. They
give them a six months or so and they'll build a new race course. Yeah. Royal Ascot Christmas, works for me.
Yeah, Royal Ascot Christmas. That could be... Well, they had the World Cup. So why not?
Listen, joking aside, there are plenty of... there are plenty of ex-British horses running in Saudi Arabia who are you wouldn't hear about at all these days. But we've started getting coverage of that in, I don't know, January, February this year. And there'll be more of that through the winter and better quality racing as well. So I know you obviously get the massive meetings there, but the run-of-the-mill stuff will be interesting enough for UK punters. Whenever every racecourse in this country is tumbleweeds, there are always familiar horses running in the Middle East.
Well, yeah, that's where all the horses are going. That's why we can't fill races like the Victoria Cup, as we couldn't last weekend.
But you know, there's a suggestion that, you know, I don't see what the problem is, but yeah, when races aren't filling, that, you know, that you'd always have balloted out horses and lots of them. There is a drain of horses at a certain bracket. You know, the horses sort of rated, I don't know, mid-80s to low 100s, and obviously they've been going to Australia and going to Singapore and stuff as well, and Hong Kong, but a lot of those are ending up in the Middle East, and because they're not, there's no publication of the results, you don't tend to see those. But you know, plenty of horses have been winning novices and looking promising at Chelmsford and Lingfield early in the season, suddenly going missing. That's where most of them are.
Well, it is one for potentially another podcast. I keep saying that, but we don't really do newsy podcasts. We do heavily tipping focused podcasts. But if there is a grow for a newsy podcast, we'd happily get stuck in. Producer Mark, producer Kira, give us more jobs. Right, let's look ahead to day three at York, or day two rather. Day three will be coming tomorrow. And we're going to kick off with the 2:15, which is a sprint handicap. But thankfully, for your sake, Rory, older horse sprint handicaps. So lots of form on show. Clarendon House, Robert Cowell and Tom Marcan put in the 4-1 favourite on Tuesday afternoon. Corker is 13-2, a previous course and distance winner. Marine Wave, 8-1, as is JM Jungle, 10-1 Equilateral. Which one turns up? The good one does, he's got a great chance. Spartan Arrow then is also 10s, as is Arecibo. This is your stick, Rory, sprint handicaps. We don't know about the draw, etc. There'll surely be, I think there might be two extra places in this race again. So off we go.
Yeah, I quite like this result. I think again, looking at results of this race in recent times, low draws have tended to benefit. The most obvious pacemaker in the race is T-Spirit as well from stall two. And I wouldn't rule that one out either. He obviously went up £7 for winning at Newmarket in April. And then he was in the Palace House Stakes last time out. So this is a bit more realistic for him, and I can see him running a big race. But what I can actually really see is him setting the race up nicely for a proper favorite here. The horse who wins most races at York, Copper Knight.
Oh.
He's out of the handicap here. He's a 10-year-old. He's got 7 stone 10 officially on his back, but he can't get 2 because that's the minimum weight in this contest. And as a result of that, he's quite a big price, sort of 14s and 16s. But he ran an absolute stormer at Chester last time out, where I think he might have won that race if he'd waited and taken the leader on the inside. I'm never a fan of horses sitting sort of half a length behind the front runner at Chester. If you keep watching races there, you know, you're either making all the running or you're coming from a little bit further back and, you know, waiting for the cutaway to come with a run. And Copper Knight was always just on the outside of the early leader at Chester. And the winner then came up the cutaway, who was just behind them. There wasn't much in it at the line. He was beaten in the neck. He eventually got past Vintage Clarets, Vintage Clarets was a finisher as well in third. He held him off. No, he's £7 higher for that because he's out of the weights here, but he's gone up £4 for that. Anyway, that was that back to form effort. So he's not badly handicapped. And listen, he's been much higher than this in the past, racing off 75 at Chester, but he's a horse who was a winner of 80 and 81 last season. He's a horse who won off 97 in 2022. So he's very well handicapped in his best form. He's a 10-year-old now, but these old sprinters, you know, they tend to maybe take a few more runs to find their form, where they tend to become a little bit more inconsistent. But most of them who are good, you know, they will keep showing their form. We just talked about Summergant on Wednesday. And I thought you'd rather he was in the handicap, but of course you're getting a bigger price because he's out of the weights. All ground comes alive to him. He's won this race twice in the past. It's, you know, two of his 7 wins at York have come in this race in 2019 and 2021. Of course, there was no race in 2020, so he clearly would have won that as well. And he's been an absolute star for Connections. Really well suited by a quick 5 furlongs on a flat track. And I think he will run really well. So he makes a lot of appeal to me each way.
Who was worst done by? Copper Knight for not winning that third renewal of this race, or Istabrak's third champion hurdle, or fourth champion hurdle?
And what do we see there? Moscow Flyer might have won that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, has he stayed over hurdles for that year, did he?
Yeah, he beat Istabrak that season as well. And they had the sort of swapped. I think they had one race where Moscow Flyer fell and one race where Istabrak fell. And I think Moscow Flyer had another win over Istabrak that season. So it wouldn't have been a foregone conclusion.
But then again, I think that was the first ever virtual race because of Foot and Mouth. And Istabrak did win that champion hurdle in the first ever.
The virtual race. Well, there you go. That's,
yeah,
that's
so great. I mean, I don't know if they ran one for Copper Knight during COVID to win the, was this? This is the 5 furlong Lyndham York handicap. I don't remember that particular event, but sure, luck. He should have had it. Right. So he's a big price. He said he's 16-1 as we record on Tuesday afternoon. Be interesting to see which way. He's not the type of horse I'd imagine to be smashed up because he's out of the handicap. So should be a good each way price in what's an excellent each way betting race with 6 places on offer. On to the mile handicap. This is the Hambledon handicap. Metal Merchant bidding for 3 wins his last 4 starts for Jack Chan. It's the favourite on Tuesday at 9-2. Dutch Decoy for Charlie Johnson, 13-2. Northern Express, 7-1. Point Linus, 9s. Almub here for William Haggis, who will have won about 15 races by now. 10-1, Look Back Smiling, and 12-1 for Blue For You for David O'Mara, who's interestingly short given those 0-0-0-7-0 form figures. We were here last year at Chester with that type of form guide. Right, what are you thinking in this one?
I think that I want to go nap in this race.
Whoa.
I'm just checking what the... yep. You got a bit skinny on the price on this one compared to Old Hickey. Old Hickey's not giving me all the value, is he?
Exactly. Well, gee, he picked up the winner of the Eurovision, by the way.
Yes, so I gather. Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on a second. I told you to back it and you said, you'll notice I'm not running out of my seat to back it.
No, I know. Oh no, you didn't tell me that. You just said you knew what the winner was, and I said I wasn't really interested in finding out.
Well, I kind of didn't know. I just thought the Switzerland were the best song, having listened to 3 songs.
I liked it. You know, seems like a nice filler. But there you go. Anyway, I very much like Point Linus here. Like him a lot. Winner first time out last season. was well beaten on a season return 2 years ago, but had excuses that day. I went back and watched the race. That was his first start for Ed Bethel as well. He ran at Chester at the weigh meeting on his reappearance in 2022, and he was disputing the lead when trying to jump a shadow early in the straight and stumbling afterwards and lost his position as a result. I would ignore that run. But he's sure he can go well fresh. He loves York as well. He had that interesting race here a couple of seasons ago where he was first past the post in a three-year-old handicap and then got disqualified and then got... No, it was maybe it was the other way around. He was... Anyway, point line is, I'm Master Richard, you're on this race. We're first and second. And the steward stepped in or didn't change the result, and then it got changed on appeal. But point line is good. He's got a very good record here. He's not won, but he's been second three times at the track, and he's been unlucky not to get his head in front. Two runs last season, two very, very competitive handicaps over this track and trip. He was beaten in this race last year by a head by Croupier, who's running a group races after that, if memory serves. And then again, he was beaten ahead later in the season on quick ground. In August at the Clipper Stakes at the Ebor meeting, with his usual rider and his usual headgear. He was beaten ahead by Ropey Guest, who sprung a bit of a shock that day. But we know Ropey Guest is a very, very smart handicapper on his day. And on both of those occasions, Point Linus was drawn much wider than the horse that beat him. Drawn 14 when Ropey Guest won. Ropey Guest was coming out of stall 8, and I think he was drawn in stall 16 when Croupier won, and Croupier was coming out of 5 or 6. I think that's the perfect draw here, stall 5. The horses right on the inside don't tend to do brilliantly at York. And obviously, if you're drawn very wide, it can be difficult unless you've got the guts to stay very wide on the track, which we've seen that happen in the Ebor a couple of times in the last decade or so. But Point Linus will be suited by being a stall 5. He will get the lead early. He's got a kipper on his inside and look back smiling. Dutch Decoy can go forward, the horse on his outside, but I'd expect Point Linus to take up his usual position at the front of the field here. I expect him to be fully fit for his reappearance, and as he showed last season, he's more than capable of making his mark of a 100. He has gone up in the weights for those two defeats at the track, but as you see with his overall form, he is really well suited to York. He wants goodish ground as well. He doesn't want any softer than yielding. There has been a little bit of rain around at York this morning, but it's good to firm, good in places at the moment. The rain they've had on Tuesday morning will probably ease it to good, maybe just the soft side of good, but the forecast for Thursday is fine and it's warm those 2 days. So I think it'll drive back to good to firm ground, which will suit him down to the ground. And I think he's got a big chance here.
Clearly. Napping him up at a big old price. Point line as well. You say Paddy Power a little bit shorter. We're 9-1 on Tuesday, but maybe the market will find its way and you should get double figure odds on Point Linus. Didn't expect a nap to come in that place.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, on to the Middleton. Fillies Group 2 over the mile and a quarter, well, mile 2.5 furlongs, and Free Wind. Well, it's a similar story as yesterday with George Strawbridge, John and Thady Gosden. Will it be a similar result? We don't know what's happened in the Musidora, but very similar connections with Free Wind as yesterday with Friendly Soul. Blue Stocking for Afe Beckett. She found one too good too often, but she's a very talented filly. She's 15-8. And then it's 130 bar. Right. What are you thinking, Rory, in the Middleton?
I don't much like it, but I come down on Free Wind as the likeliest winner. There's not much between her and Blue Stocking. They met a couple of times last season in the Yorkshire Oaks, which is a very strong race. Free Wind was second. That was by far her best effort of the season after winning this race. She won this race in her reappearance last year, and she was a very good second in the Yorkshire Oaks, where Bluestocking was, I think she was fourth that day. And there was about three lengths between them. Then they met and the filly and mare, British Champions filly and mare stakes in October, where Free Whim was a bit disappointing in fifth. Wasn't beaten that far. It was a messy race. She was beaten less than 2.5 lengths, and Bluestocking was second, beaten the neck that day. So if you sort of take the combination of those runs, there's not much between the pair of them. I think the obvious thing is that Free Wind is better suited by York. She's got a good record here. Her two best runs last season came at York. Again, she goes well on quick ground too. It was firm on her reappearance last year. She wouldn't want to see much more rain. It was on the soft side at Ascot when she was beaten. And if it did rain further, that would be a little bit off-putting. But I think with the ground as it is, she should be just too good for Bluestocking. Who's, you know, she's got no issue with the ground. She was being placed in good to firm, placed on soft ground last season. And she should do a little bit better. She's worn the headgear now. She wore headgear at that Ascot and got right back to her best. And she wears the cheek pieces again on her return. The pair of them are a little bit ahead of the others, but, you know, a tactical race could see a little bit of a shock, and it wouldn't be a massive surprise to see any of the other four run well, although Novus would need it very soft, I think, to be effective here. Sapphire Seas and Infinite Cosmos might do better. They were Sapphire Seas won the John Musker at Yarmouth last season when Infinite Cosmos was only third. Infinite Cosmos is the one with the least chance on paper of winning this, but being a Sir Michael Stout trained 4-year-old who's only had four lifetime runs, she's the one who's open to most improvement as well. So she's dangerous to dismiss. But I think on balance, Free Wind should win this. She's never a mare I've liked enormously. And she got into habit of starting slowly in her last couple of starts last season. But if she puts it all together, she's hard to beat. I suppose you could say with her, you know, she's been ridden by Frankie Dettori most of her career, and she's a little bit tricky. And while Kieran Schumacher's a very good jockey, I don't think anyone's in any doubt that Frankie at his best is almost untouchable in the saddle. So that's a little bit of a negative for her as well. But she just comes out on top, whatever way you look at it.
Yeah, that's the Gosden runner, Free Wind. Big ride for Kieran Schumacher, obviously. Yeah, I agree regarding Infinite Cosmos. I think, obviously, Sir Michael Stout, very patient approach, 4 years old. And the fact that Rothschild's keeper in training, they could have gone to Breeding Shed with her. Yeah, very interesting filly.
Yeah, and the Rothschilds, the breeding operation, the horses do tend to get better with age as well. So it's a good combination there. And she missed most of she missed last summer as well. Did she run in the Musidora last year?
She ran in the Musidora, yeah. She was third in that, I think, yeah.
And then she was off until the John Musker in the autumn. So it wouldn't be any surprise at all to see her stepping up by £10 or more. But she'll need to win this.
Very interesting to see how she goes, but very much the one to beat Free Wind. On to the Dante. Now, just a quick check on the Derby betting ahead of the Dante. Looking at City of Troy, obviously, is the favourite. I say obviously. I mean, it's based on quotes. 3-1 favourite for the Derby. Arabian Crown, 7-2. Stablemate, who we'll talk about shortly. Ancient Wisdom, 7-1. Los Angeles, 8-1. Ambient Friendly, another one of the friendlies, 8-1. And 16s for Diego Velasquez. 20s Dancing Gemini, whose form ties in with this Ancient Wisdom, who won the big Racing Post for Tuturity, whatever they're calling it nowadays. Oh, I did a Rory there. Right, Angel Wisdom, 6-5 favourite. Al Musmak for Roger Varian, 3-1. Caviar Heights, 9-2. Cambridge for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. They never send a good one to this race. 11-1. 12-1, God's Window. Ancient Wisdom, genuine Derby contender? It's got to be, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Obviously, he's had quite a lot of racing as a 2-year-old. And if you're looking at how the classics are panning out this season, you might be slightly wary of horses who've been on the go since before Royal Ascot last year. But I liked Ancient Wisdom a lot. As a juvenile, he looked pretty raw when he won in his debut at Haydock. I think I remember Charlie Appleby saying that he wanted to get the horse out early because he needed a race to learn, and he was potentially going to go the wrong way at home if he didn't race. And you see, he won by a good margin at Haydock, despite looking pretty green. Followed up at Newmarket when he was sixes on. He then suffered his only defeat in the Padre Edry Stakes. Now that is the hottest 2-year-old form. In the middle of last season, he's only
the greatest listed race ever run.
Yeah, it comes before Glorious Goodwood, but Rosalyn beat Al Musmak, Ancient Wisdom, Ali Anabi, Dancing Gemini, Sunway. And, you know, most of those, oh, Big Bertie Bassett back in the Fairly Runwell the other day in an all-weather handicap, I think. But the second, third, fourth and fifth all won pattern races on their next start. Rosalyn obviously went on to be pretty, you know, second best two-year-old in Europe behind City of Troy, and has clearly trained on. And Ancient Wisdom was off for a while after that race, so he was clearly deemed to be disappointing. That wasn't, although that was probably as good as he'd ever done at that stage. He was immediately given a break of a few months, and reappeared when he was very impressive, winning by the best part of four lengths, and then he followed up in the Futurity on his final start. That's a lot of racing to have at two, but it doesn't necessarily put me off. I think I was quite interested in Charlie Appleby's comments. He wasn't one of those really racy early two-year-olds, but he was a horse who was mentally very active and needed to get to a race course. Otherwise, he might have just gone completely nuts at home. And I think he's done a very good job with him. Then he gave him that mid-season break when he needed it and came back with two very strong performances later on. So, and the form has worked out really well. You know, in the autumn stakes, he'd be Chief Little Rook, Ambiente Friendly, well beaten on third, beaten about five lengths that day, has obviously come out and won and impressively won a Derby trial. So there's no reason to doubt Ancient Wisdom. You don't know how they're going to go from two to three. And again, you know, I don't need to reiterate that I don't go mad on these races, but I see no reason to be against them. I'm not going to invent one.
Yeah, very interesting to see how he goes. And he could be interesting to see if he gets to the top of the Derby betting with a big win here. Ancient Wisdom in the Dante. One more race to look at York. It's a listed race, but there's a proper group horse here in Big Evs, who's put in 8-11, the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint winner of last season. 4-1 Killian, who's threatened to be a really good sprinter. And of course, he's a three-year-old now, so he's still turning into, well, growing into himself, one assumes. Unbreak My Heart, absolute cracker from Tony Braxton, but also a decent filly, 9-1, 12-1 Sommelier and 12-1 Sports Coach. Big Ev's 8-11. I mean, he's taking on inferior animals here, Rory. Obviously getting a bit of weight, but he was a cracker last season.
Yeah, he's the pick at the weights, even though he is giving weight away to the others. And if he trains on, he should win. And that's the question with him. You know, when you've got a horse who's as good as he was at two, and as fast as he was at two, they don't always train on. But physically, he looks like, well, that's the thing. I mean, you want to see what he looks like in the parade ring at York, because physically last year he looked like a bull, didn't he? So you'd like to think he will train on. But of course, if he hasn't grown an inch, then, you know, he'll be at a disadvantage. And we've seen that often enough. We don't have to do the whole City of Troy thing to death. But so many horses who look well grown and look, you know, robust at two are just the same horse at three. So it'll be interesting to see what Big Evs looks like. But he's got the frame to suggest that he's actually going to get better as a sprinter. You know, he didn't look the complete package last year, despite being obviously a sprinter in physique, and he's strong, but he's got a bit of length to him as well, and he can fill out a little bit more. We don't weigh horses here, but it's one of those you'd like to hear that Big Evs is 20 kilos heavier than he was last year, for example. You'd want to see him putting on more bulk. He had a bit of bulk as a two-year-old, but if you're going to keep progressing as a sprinter, you've got to keep developing that physique. The way he looked to me as a two-year-old, I thought he had room to develop more. So hopefully he can, and he could be a really, really exciting 5 furlong performer this season. It's always nice to have a real speed ball around, and hopefully he can kick things off with a win in this race at York. I suppose if you're being cynical about it, you could say, well, they're trying to find the easiest race possible for him. Whereas, you know, clearly he's already a Group One winner. So, you know, if you're a Group One winner, you should be running just in Group One races. And here he is running in a listed race, first time out of the season. Does that smack of confidence, or is it a slightly worrying sign? I don't know.
they probably want to get a run in before Royal Ascot, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the way I would tend to look at it. Yeah. You know, you can ask whatever questions you want. There are very few options for a real 5 furlong horse. That's the thing. So this is probably just the race that fits the schedule best.
He is in around favour for the newly named Get King Charles to Royal Ascot, King Charles III Stakes. That is him, right?
That is, yep.
Okay, all right, okay. That'll make sure he goes.
Not to be confused with the King Charles II Stakes, which is run at Newmarket.
Oh, here. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, so the King Charles III Stakes is the old King Stand Stakes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the old King Stand, yeah, which is the 5 furlong race, which he's clearly going to go for, because probably 6 stretches him. So Big Evs to do the business in the Westall Stakes, the listed contest at 4:15. Now, ITV are going to show us one other race. It's going to be at Salisbury, 1¾ the trip for this. It is the City Bowl Handicap, so a good quality race. Poa Pori, a mare who's been busy over jumps for Nicky Henderson, is your favourite. She won her last 2 flat races. She's been put in the 5-2 favourite. John Joe and Alan O'Neill, who are going well at the moment, circuit breaker. Then you've got the GOAT, Andrew Balding Trains, 9-2 and 5-1 respectively, those two. 7-1 Rathgar and Torcello 8-1. So good quality race, 1¾ the trip, Rory. Who wins at Salisbury?
Yeah, so there's no draw for this because it's a flag start at Salisbury. They basically start in front of the stands and go round the loop and come back again. Some horses don't like that, and you will often see something whip around at the start. So never the easiest races to punt on. The GOAT was a wide margin winner at Goodwood last year on heavy ground, and it's going to be heavy at Salisbury, but he hasn't really backed that up. And that is beginning to look like a bit of a fluke. So I'd be wary of the GOAT, because he's been back on heavy ground since and been disappointing. And he was well beaten at Epsom on his return. I thought Circuit Breaker was very interesting here for John Joe and AJ. Kieran Fallon taking the ride. He was bought, seemed to be, to go hurdling from Rafe Beckett, 260,000. He was a regressive handicapper over this sort of trip, was beaten a length of a mark of 87 on soft ground at Haydock in September before changing stables. And then he wasn't seen again until running in the Queen's Prize at Kempton, where he ran very well to be third. The winner of that race was a horse who had a big chance on paper, Duty of Care, who'd beaten a previous winner of the race in Sleeping Lion. So the form looks pretty solid. And Circuit Breaker wouldn't be an all-weather specialist, the son of Nathaniel. So he will almost certainly benefit from getting back onto soft ground. And as long as he doesn't do anything silly at the start, I think he's got a decent chance there. But those flag start races are never the easiest. But hopefully Circuit Breaker. Yeah, ideally, I think you want to be close to the pace at Salisbury in races like that because of the nature of the quite a tight loop they go round before coming back up the straight. So I quite like a horse who can race on the front end there, and Circuit Breaker can do that.
Very interesting. And you could see a few of these in some of the big staying handicaps at Royal Ascot. Circuit Breaker, who clearly cannot jump a hurdle and stays on the flat, the 9-2 selection for that contest at Salisbury. Right, that's a lovely spin through Thursday's racing. We now need a winning nap. You had a big price nap, and you've kind of already given your nap, but remind us what your nap is on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm napping Point Linus in, what would that be? The 145, 245 rather, sorry. The Hambleton handicap. He's a horse who is in love with the track and trip, but has been very unlucky to come out narrowly second effectively 3 times, and I think he can finally get his head in front here at a track that suits his style very well.
Excellent stuff. The Oakmere Homes Hambleton handicap, so maybe we could put a bit away for deposit for one of the Oakmere Homes. Point Linus, 9-1 of the time reporting, so a nice leechway nap. Extra places, whole spatum available at York, as there was on day one. Right, that's day 2 covered. We'll be back, Rory, to look ahead to Friday in a separate podcast. And then we'll be back again to look ahead to Saturday in another podcast. I've just been actually sent a snip of the current betting for the, I'm going to throw this, an absolute curveball, the French champion hurdle betting. This could be an absolute belter, Rory. I'm going to get you to study this. At the moment, Irish Point, Hewick, Home by the Lee are all still in the race, as is Mr. Incredible. Get studying. 6-4 favourite Irish Point for the French champion hurdle. Will you have a look at that for us at O'Toy at the weekend?
I shall have a look at that, yes. And we'll. It was a good race. There was plenty of Irish involvement last year, but
no winner.
No winner. But let's see what happens this time around.
It is a hard track to win there, but we'll see if Willie. He does usually send a few to Auteuil, which is a cracking venue if you ever get the chance to go. Right, Rory, you enjoy your Thursday evening. We'll be back on Friday, as I said, and looking ahead to Friday's Cup. We'll be back on Thursday, rather. So you enjoy your Wednesday evening, and we'll be looking ahead to the week. It's very difficult when we're doing these 2 days ahead. Do you find that?
I do, yeah. Just say Tuesday evening, and then...
Just say, you enjoy your evening, is what I should say. You enjoy your evening. Yes. We'll be back tomorrow looking ahead to the next day's racing. There you go. Even better.
Great.
Have a great one, folks. Back later in the week. Talk again.